I'm really glad you guys are up here. Thanks for coming to church today. You guys can stay sitting over there if you want to, but you may want to get a little closer and come even sit on the floor too if you want, but you don't have to because we've got a little bit of show and tell today. What do I have here? Egg. Okay, that's a pretty easy question. Who can tell me what's inside of an egg? What's inside of here? A yolk. What color is yolk? Okay, and what else do we have in here? Chicks. Sometimes there could be a real. Do you think there's a real chicken in here? Maybe not today. I don't even remember what that other stuff is called. But there's that slimy, clear stuff, right? Now, so this egg is filled with stuff because all eggs are filled with stuff. Because what else would we expect? But I want to make sure. Do we know for sure there's stuff in here? We better make sure. I need some helpers. And maybe some of you older ones, has anybody ever cracked an egg before? Okay, maybe some older ones. Annika, do you want to come and crack this one? And just be careful. I brought a tray, though, because I don't want this to spill all over my suit either. So here, I'll hold on to that if you crack it. There you go. And have you ever opened one? Do you want to do it? There we go. Okay, and then you can put that in there. And I even have some hand sanitizer for you here as well, so that your mom doesn't get mad at me, or too mad at me. Okay, and let's see. So what happened? What was in the egg? Egg, right? Okay, and I need one more volunteer. You want to come crack one too? Okay, well, let's just make sure. Let's make sure that we got eggs here. There we go. That one is full of, see, sure enough. These are real eggs. Here you go. Why don't you take some of that? I need one more volunteer. Okay, why don't you come on up here, Austin, and why don't you crack this one? That one's hard. Oh! What's this? What's in here? What's in here? Was there anything in here? It was empty. Now, how did that happen?
I don't know.
We don't know. It's not what we would expect, would we? Because usually eggs have something in it, but this one was empty. You know, it's Easter today, and we celebrate Easter. We celebrate Easter because Jesus rose from the dead. And we're going to talk about the story in the Bible when this actually happened. And these ladies were walking to Jesus' grave. And when they were walking to his grave, they were expecting Jesus to be in his grave, right? But when they got there, what did they find? The grave was empty. How did that happen? Do you guys know? Did you know that Jesus rose from the dead? He was actually, he came back to life. And so the grave where his dead body was empty. And they weren't expecting that, just like we wouldn't expect this egg to be empty. We would expect it to have egg in it, but it was actually empty. In the same way, Jesus' grave was also empty, and that was a wonderful surprise. Okay, that was good news for the ladies that day, and they went and they told the disciples, and then the disciples went and told everybody else because it was such good news that the grave was empty, and that's what we get to celebrate on Easter. We get to celebrate that the grave was empty, that Jesus rose from the dead. Okay, that's why we're here today. And it's a wonderful thing because it means that you and I get to go to heaven and live forever too, just like Jesus, to be with him. All right, I have some eggs for you today. Not these kinds of eggs, but some other different colored ones. And these eggs are not empty, okay? And they have stuff in them. They have goodies for you. And you can take one and you can go back and sit down. But I want you to remember, okay, that these eggs, all right, they help us to remember that the egg is empty and that Jesus died on the cross because his grave was empty. All right, so let's see here. Let's set this aside, and then you guys can come and pick an egg and go sit down. We have some special music this morning, so I'd ask Pastor Jim and Cassie Ward to please come forward at this time and share with us.
I started out the service this morning with that ancient greeting, and this song is based off of that, at least in part. It begins by expressing the wonder of the fact that Jesus would die for all of our sins, and we know that he did, and then when he rose from the dead, It was like God saying, yes, that death for sin was real. The sacrifice that was made was a real sacrifice, and it's complete, and it's accepted. And now he's alive again with new life to give to all who will believe. And a joyous thing Easter is, as we celebrate Christ's resurrection. And it isn't just the emotion of, hey, we get to celebrate. It's the fact that our sins have been taken care of. And we can have forgiveness. We can have peace with God. And we can have eternal life. What a wonderful thing. And it's all made real and authentic by the fact that Christ is risen. He's risen indeed.
How can it be the one who died has borne our sins through sacrifice to conquer every sting of death? Sing, sing hallelujah. For joy awakes as dawning light when Christ's disciples lift their eyes. Alive he stands, their friend and king, Christ. Christ, he is risen. Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. Oh, sing hallelujah. Join the chorus, sing with the redeemed. Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. Where doubt and darkness once had been, they saw him and their hearts believed. But blessed are those who have not seen, yet sing hallelujah. Once bound by fear, now bold in faith, they preach the truth and power of grace, and pouring out their lives they gain, life, life everlasting. Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. Oh, sing hallelujah. Join the chorus, sing with the redeemed. Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. The power that raised him from the grave now works in us to powerfully save. He frees our hearts to sing his grace. Go tell of his goodness. Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. Oh, sing hallelujah. Join the chorus, sing with the redeemed. Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. Oh, sing hallelujah. Join the chorus, sing with the redeemed. Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. He's alive, he's alive. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive. Now in heaven glorified. He's alive, he's alive. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive. Now in heaven glorified.
Amen. Thank you very much for that, Jim and Cassie. Our sermon text this morning is the account of the resurrection from Matthew's book, and I'm going to read these 10 verses for you from Matthew chapter 28, and as I do, I would ask that you would please stand with me again out of respect for God's word. Reading from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10 in Jesus' name. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with great fear and joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Father, these are your words. Thank you for them. The glorious truth of you are not here in the grave. You are risen. We thank you and we praise you for that, Lord Jesus, today. And I pray now that as we read these words and as we study them, that you would put them in our hearts and set them apart there in our hearts as truth, Lord, because your word is true in a world that is so full of lies. God, we have your word which is true. Thank you so much for that. And I pray that you would impress this glorious truth on our hearts this morning. In your name I pray, amen. You may be seated. The great storyteller Paul Harvey told of a boy named Carlos who moved with his parents to a small town in Arizona. Carlos was small for his age, and the neighbor boy was much bigger and very mean. Every day after school, this neighbor boy, Bobby, would chase Carlos down on the way home and beat him up. And this happened for quite some time, until one day, a gas station owner decided to put an end to it. He stepped out of his store and stopped Carlos as he was running by. They had never met, and Carlos was polite but very much in a hurry and told this man that he really needed to get home and didn't have time to stand around. And this man told Carlos, "You're not going home until you stand up to this bully and fight back." Carlos argued that this was not possible and that it would only make things worse. But this gas station owner persisted and encouraged Carlos that he could do it. And by the time Bobby the bully came running around the corner, Carlos had mustered enough confidence to actually jump Bobby and force him to cry, "Uncle." That was the last time they ever fought. They actually became friends. And this episode totally changed the course of little Carlos's life. We would never have heard about a little boy in Arizona who let a bully get the best of him, and maybe even this episode is comparatively insignificant, but for Carlos, it was life-changing. He grew up to become the world middleweight karate champion from 1968 to 1974, and he starred in many movie thrillers. This scared little boy who tried to outrun a bully and had his life changed by an encounter with a stranger is known to me and maybe several of you as Walker, Texas Ranger, or Carlos Ray Norris, Chuck Norris. The man who, as the joke goes, is so strong that when he does push-ups, he doesn't lift himself up off the ground, he pushes the earth down. This Lenten season, we've looked at several people in the gospel accounts who had various encounters with Christ and how these encounters changed them or the effect that those encounters had on them. See, when Jesus encounters people, they are changed. They are affected. The healing and comfort that he brings to a sufferer. He humbles the proud. He calms the anxious. He speaks truth to the enemy. And there are so many other examples, and a big reason for that is because this was a major theme for his coming in the first place. In the Old Testament, the name of the coming Messiah was prophesied as Emmanuel, God with us. God coming in the flesh to this world is foundational to the work that had to be done in ultimately dying on the cross. But as we are celebrating today, Jesus didn't stay dead. And that fact has enormous and eternal implications for you today. As we start, I briefly want to set the scene for us. Verse 1 says that it was after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, and Mary Magdalene and the other Mary are going to see the tomb. They are going to see the dead body of the man in whom all their hope and joy had rested. You're familiar with the phrase, perhaps, that the night is darkest before the dawn. And that's literally the scene here. These women are walking to a tomb in the darkest of the night. I remember walking through a 300-year-old cemetery in Boston at 4:30 in the morning one time. It's a long story. You can ask me another time if you're curious. But the point is, it was an unnerving experience. Not only was it the darkest of the night, but there's a certain darkness around cemeteries to begin with. They are places that are marked by death, which is dark. And you add to that this case in our text that these women are walking in the darkest of the night to a very dark place to begin with, and the tomb that they're going to is the tomb of the man on which all of their hope rested. And he's dead. I can't imagine the darkness and despair that these women and the disciples and these others had on that Friday night and all day Saturday and now very early Sunday morning with the weight of all that has happened. They are now marching back to the tomb where all of their hopes and joys are buried and dead. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, after the text that we confessed our faith with this morning, that there were those who were saying that there's no such thing as resurrection. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians that if there's no resurrection, then Christ was not raised. And if that's the case, if Jesus is dead, and that's what these women thought, and if that's the case today, if Jesus is dead, Paul says that faith is futile. You are still in your sins. There's no victory. When you're dead, you're dead. There's nothing more. That's it. If hope is contained to this world, and it's a pretty crummy world, isn't it? And if this is all we have to hope in, Paul says there that we are of all people most to be pitied. See, if Jesus stayed dead, there's no victory over death. The ultimate consequence of our sins, my sin, your sin, it's death. And that consequence remains. Sin, death, the devil wins. And that's pitiable. And those who deny the living Christ, if death is the ultimate end, that's really depressing. If this crummy world is the best there is, that's really depressing. There's no meaning and purpose. And what happens? People build lies to avoid that truth, that reality. Other religions like Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism and any other you want to name, they try to make up for it by inventing another idea of something beyond this world. But those ideas are devoid of the power of Christ's resurrection. And if you start breaking them down, they are very hollow ideas and realities. There are others who build lies that go something like this. This world really isn't all that crummy. In fact, it's pretty great. It's as great as you want to make it to be, so eat, drink, and be merry. Did you know that that's actually found in the Bible? Eat, drink, and be merry? In a few places. One is Luke 12, where Jesus talks about the foolishness of eat, drink, and be merry. The foolishness of putting your stock in this world now. And then the other place is the book of Ecclesiastes, where the overwhelming theme of the book is the vanity of this world. And if you are honest with yourself, you know that putting your stock in this world will ultimately disappoint. And this disappointment, by the way, comes in so many ways, but I'll skip this morning to the final disappointment, which is death. And if that's all there is, if there's no resurrection, if there's no living Jesus, what's this all for then? It's all vanity. People can lie to themselves and convince themselves that there can be a life here without Christ that really is as great as we need and want, but it'll always end in disappointment. 100% of the time. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but maybe tomorrow. These women had the despair and finality of death weighing on them as they traveled to a tomb in the darkest of the night. And verse 2, behold, stop! That's what that word means. Behold, look! There's an earthquake. This angel comes down, rolls this stone back. His appearance, it says, was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. Have you ever had bright lights hit you in a dark place? What's our reaction? We close our eyes, we look away. It startles us. Imagine that feeling times a billion. Because this is the light of the angel of the Lord bursting in on the scene. It's no wonder it says these guards became like dead men. And the women show up and the angel says, do not be afraid. And then we have the climax really of the Bible, the main point of all of Scripture, the foundation upon which our lives stand. He is not here. This is no longer the tomb of a dead man. He has risen just as he said. All the darkness fades. The women see the day for what it is, not just the day, but the day of victory and triumph. This is Christianity, friends. We believe in a risen Savior, and it changes everything. When Jesus rose again, a new era began. Heaven and earth were joined. The wall of separation fell. God is reconciled to men. The sacrifice of the Son has been accepted by the Father. That is the supreme Easter truth. We have access to God. We have access to heaven and eternal life through the living, risen Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if that doesn't do something for you, get you excited, I don't know what else to say. Eternal life is yours through the living Jesus Christ. By faith in Him, C.S. Lewis has a quote where he says, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. All right? Not because I see it, he says, but because by it, I see everything else. I actually did see the sunrise this morning, and maybe some of you did too. But we don't always see the sunrise. Either we sleep later than that, or there's clouds or whatever. But that doesn't mean that the sun didn't rise, right? You don't know that the sun rose today just because I saw it and told you. You know it rose because you see the real of everything around you. There's light. Christianity answers the vanity and the futility of this world, friends. Christianity says that this is not all in vain. You were made by a God who loves you so much that He was willing to send His Son to suffer and die and rise again so that you could live. That's not vanity, that's value. That's how much you are loved. Christianity says that this is not futile, that there is something more. There's something much greater to come. And it's resurrection made possible because Jesus beat death. Paul says in that 1 Corinthians chapter, right after he says that if there is no resurrection, then we are to be most pitied. He says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. That just as death came through Adam, so life comes through Christ, and those in Christ shall be made alive. Friends, Christianity is true because God says so. But we see its truth all the time, too. Christianity is honest about the condition of the world. When all around us there are lies being told and people are buying into them. And I'm not going to pick on any specific ones now, even though I suppose I've already mentioned a few, like all the different world religions and the false ideologies of the world and without Christ. But if you're wondering about any of that, just so you know, I'd love to talk to you about it. I had a young girl once ask me, Pastor, where do you work? Okay. And I said, well, I work at the church. You see me there. And she replied, I see you there when I come on Sunday, but you have to have another job the rest of the week. And that's about the time I looked at her dad and said, I think you have some teaching to do. Okay. The point is, apparently, I have all week to sit in here and to talk about these things with you, and I'm really not being facetious here. We are bombarded every day with lies from the devil. And as it is right now this morning, I'm here to tell you that Christianity is honest about these things. And every now and then it doesn't make sense, but that doesn't make it wrong. It doesn't make it dishonest. And at the end of the day, no matter what struggle may come along, there is still hope because Jesus is still alive. This hope in Jesus is a hope that does not disappoint because death does not have mastery over him, the Bible says. He beat death. That's why we sing that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Our hope is in the one who beat death and opened the door of resurrection and eternal life for you and me too. The truth of he is not here, for he has risen, rings today. And that's the conclusion that we come to this morning in our text. The thought that Jesus is actually alive brings such hope for these women that they depart quickly, it says, from the tomb in fear and great joy, and they're running to go tell the disciples, and then we get another, behold, look, Jesus met them. The living Jesus. And they took hold of his feet and they worshiped him. See, all of these stories that we talked about through this Lenten season, of all the people that Jesus met, that he encountered in his lifetime, they're good. They are true accounts of things that actually happened and people whose lives were changed. And we talked about how those truths help us when we're in those situations too. That Jesus meets us in those situations. But friends, that truth is only because fundamentally, he is alive. If he's not alive, they're just good stories to tell that maybe just help us to feel better about our station in life. But because he is alive, because he is at work today, because he comes to you, not in a way that we can grab his feet, but that doesn't make it any less true. He comes to you in his word. He is the word. And the Bible says that the word is living and active. The word is living. It pierces soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It works. It does work. He changes you. He gives you new life. He uses something like baptism, say, to come to you, to join himself to you. Romans 6 says that we were buried with him. Here, listen to this resurrection reference. We were buried with him through baptism unto death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, so because he's living, we too, you too, have eternal life. God works the drowning. He works the drowning. He puts to death the old nature, and he brings resurrection, new life. He uses his word in communion, for example. He says, "This is my body. This is my blood." He's present with us in his word there. He meets us. He meets you because he's alive. And when he meets you, friends, when Jesus meets you, he brings hope, forgiveness, life. Life that endures death. That's the life that he gives, because that's his life. It's a life that beats death. These women met the living Jesus. The disciples later would meet him too. That's the reference in verse 10. And they were never the same. His life-changing message wasn't jump the bully, okay, like what happened with Chuck Norris. But Jesus' message was one that is infinitely greater than that. His message to you this morning, in this dark world, his message to you brings an unrivaled hope and confidence and joy that forever changes you. That message is that death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's his message to you today. Death is swallowed up in victory, and that victory is yours by faith in Christ. Look to him, cling to him, rejoice today in the empty tomb. May you all have a blessed Easter this season with your family and friends. God bless you. May God keep our eyes ever focused on the empty tomb and the glory that that brings. Amen.